Turn with me, please, to the Gospel of John. Gospel of John and chapter 13. We will begin reading at verse 36. Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, whither goest thou? Jesus answered him, Whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterward. Peter said unto him, Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. Jesus answered him, Wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow, till thou hast denied me thrice. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. And where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If you had known me, you should have known my Father also, and from henceforth you know him, and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it suffices. Never can say that word. It will satisfy us. Jesus said unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? The background to this little question and answer period, that the Lord had just told the disciples once again that he was going away. Verse 33, he says, Little children, yet a little while I am with you. You shall seek me, and as I said unto the Jews, whither I go, you cannot come. So now I say to you. He was speaking of his going to the cross. And so Peter, naturally being impetuous, wanted to know where he was going. Peter seems to be always the first with the question. He always wants to know what's going on. And like as not, he puts his foot in it. But I'd like to take a look at this little interplay between the Lord Jesus and his disciples, this little question and answer period. The Lord was very fond of teaching by asking questions. And you know, we have a God who is interested in answering our questions. So many people are afraid to ask God why and how. But the Lord Jesus, even though, as we will see, some of these questions were really impertinent, he never tired of answering people's questions, of satisfying people's curiosity. Let's look at the first question that Peter asked. Whither goest thou? He wanted to know where the Lord was going. He was in the habit of following the Lord. He had been for 3 years. And he didn't want the Lord to go any place or do anything unless he was there. Well, this is a good thing. And many people would like to follow the Lord if they were given a full itinerary of where he was going and what he was doing. The Lord does not, however, always give us that itinerary. Sometimes he wants us to trust him simply because of who he is. And sometimes, as we shall see here, it's better that we don't know where he's going. The fear might be perhaps too much. And there may be people here this morning. And you're not saved, you know who you are. And you might like to follow the Lord too, but you don't quite know what it'll cost you. You're not quite sure. Will I have to give up this? Will I have to give up that? How will it change me? You know, we used to play a game in a youth group years ago. We used to call it the faith walk. The idea of this game is that you have pairs, two people. And one person closes their eyes, and the other person leads them around. And the rules are that the person who has their eyes closed cannot open them for any reason. And they must follow exactly the instructions given to them by the person who has their eyes open. Now, the responsibility of the person who has their eyes open is not to leave them in the road to get knocked down, or to leave them in a hole, or something like this, or not to walk them into a wall. And then after a while, the positions are reversed. Now, if you've ever played that game, let me tell you, it's a strange feeling. To walk around and be told to go someplace, and you're not quite sure where you're going. And we would have folks that would lead their partner up to the road and open the gate. And you can hear the cars, and you don't quite know how far they are away. Very, very strange. And we feel like this, don't we, sometimes with the Lord. Where are you leading me, Lord? What will you ask of me? And we want to know where He's leading us before we get there. But for Peter and for us, those answers are not always forthcoming. We look at the Lord's reply. He told Peter, "Whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards." "Not now," he said to Peter. "You can't follow me now." And there were several reasons for this. Peter was unready. This was before Pentecost. And the Holy Spirit had yet to come and live in Peter's life. And Peter was unready to follow Jesus. He was unchastened. Not now, but later. You know, there are things that have to happen to us sometimes before we're ready to go where God wants us to go. In Hebrews 12 and about verse 11, it talks about the chastening of the Lord. And it says there that it feels grievous. It's not enjoyable. It feels grievous. But afterward, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness. Thank God for God afterward. We don't like the things that God leads us through sometimes. But it's for sake of the afterward that He leads us through them. Sometimes, to grow fruit, a tree must be pruned. And if a tree could speak, it would probably tell you, don't cut that off. I don't like that. And we don't like the things either that God may bring into our life, the pruning. But it's because He wants us to produce that peaceable fruit of righteousness. And if you're here this morning and you're unsaved, being convicted of heart is not a pleasant process. When God shows a person just what they are before Him and all their sins, it's a painful process, a very painful process. But if you're willing to go through it, the Word of God promises that God's afterward will be worth it. Lord, whither goest thou? If you're looking to follow the Lord Jesus, you have to trust Him. It's as simple as that. He will not always give you answers. And Peter, being Peter, says, of course, right away, why can't I follow you now? In verse 37, Peter said unto him, Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. Now his desire was evident. But as we shall see, desire was not enough. Many people desire to follow the Lord Jesus. They want to. But like Peter, they find failure. This is around about this time of year, in a few months, people will look back and say, oh, you know, I made those New Year's resolutions and I broke them again. At the beginning of the year, people are, they're so eager to do better. They look back on the previous year and they say, well, you know, I shouldn't have done that. And I should have done this. And I'm going to try and do better this year. And around about January or February, the same old two and six. Back into old habits. And they say, well, what's the deal? The scripture says, the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And we can try, like Peter, to do what is right. But so many times we find failure, don't we? The reason for it is that because we are trying. Desire may be evident in our lives. We may want to change. We may want to turn over a new leaf. We may want to turn our lives around, but somehow we find it's so difficult. We have those old ingrained patterns. And the Lord asked Peter, wilt thou lay down thy life? Many try to follow, but end in denial, as Peter did. Desire may be evident, but desire to follow Jesus in and of itself is insufficient. Jesus said to Peter, before the cock crow, you will deny me three times. And we know the story, don't we? He was at the fire, and several people asked him, weren't you with this Jesus of Nazareth? And he denied that he was with Jesus three times. So many of us, desire to follow. But when the hard times come, because there is no reality to our Christianity, we deny the Lord. Now, we may not, like Peter, come right out and say it. But we may deny the Lord by what we do. We may do those things that bring dishonor to the name of the Lord Jesus. And in so doing, we deny him. And it may be that you're here today, and you've known what is right for a very long time. You may not be saved. And you may want to do what is right, but you also find yourself wanting to do what is wrong, don't you? And when the crunch comes, the old habits take over. And you do what is wrong. And you know it's wrong. If I could illustrate this a little, I'd put it this way. Would desire alone be sufficient to keep your job for you? If you were given something to do at work and or at school, and you didn't do it, you failed to do it, and your employer or your school teacher came to you and said, well, where's the project? Is the job done? And you said to them, well, you know, I really wanted to do it. I really wanted to do it. How long do you think you would last in your job? How long would you last? Depends entirely on the patience of your employer. Jesus' reply to Peter was very interesting. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. Where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, you know. And the way, you know. He's talking about a prepared place and a known way. The disciples really ought to have known where he was going. He spoke to them many times about the fact that he would die. You only have to turn to chapter 12 and verse 32 and 33. If I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto myself. Earlier on in that same chapter, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. Now, he had told them where he was going. And so often these verses are applied to heaven. And people say, well, you know, he was going to prepare a place for us in heaven, in my Father's house of many mansions. Well, that's part of the truth. That's part of the truth. The fact of the matter is, he was going to reserve a place for us. There are many mansions, he said. I'm going to prepare a place for you. And the way that he reserved this place for you was to die on Calvary. He was speaking primarily about Calvary. Whither I go, you know, and the way, you know. He went to Calvary to secure your place. In other words, the reservations have been made. All you have to do is to accept that reservation. Then Thomas speaks up. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Now I give Thomas credit here for boldness. The Lord said, you know the way, and Thomas comes right out and says, Lord, we don't know the way. I'm not sure I have the courage to speak to the Lord like that. But the Lord apparently wasn't angry with him. You know, Thomas, if we look at Thomas' life, it's very interesting, you know. He seemed to be the devil's advocate of the group. Way back in chapter 11 of the same gospel, the Lord was talking about going back down toward Jerusalem where the Jews had already tried to stone him once, and they tried to talk him out of it, and he said, no, I'm going. So Thomas says, well, let's go, we can die with him. You know, a very negative sort of attitude. In this chapter, he says, Lord, we don't know the way. After the Lord had told him that he should know the way. If you go on to chapter 20, the disciples were gathered together, and Thomas was not there, and the Lord came and visited them. And they told Thomas, and Thomas said, oh, no, unless I can put my hand in his side and feel the nail print, I will not believe. Let us go and die with him. I know not. I will believe not. Do you know? After he saw the Lord, Thomas' life was changed. We read that he died in India, preaching the gospel. He believed then. What made the difference? Many try to understand, but doubt and denial takes over. You know, one of my favorite questions that I've ever heard. A young child was speaking to his father and said, "Daddy, why does the sun shine in the day when we don't need it, and not at night when we do?" How would you answer that sort of question? The reason that kind of question is so difficult to answer is because it assumes things that are not true. And Jesus' answer to Thomas here shows that he was trying to tell Thomas, "Thomas, you're assuming things that are not true." His answer to Thomas is, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." And if you're here today and you're unsaved, you want to know the way to God, there may be many things you cannot understand. Your desire may be insufficient. But if there's one thing, by the grace of God, I could get across to you this morning, that the way to God is not a path. It's a person. Knowing God is only possible through the Lord Jesus Christ. God, if I may say so reverently, made a picture of himself in human flesh. The Epistle to the Hebrews tells us that he stamped his image in flesh. And that's Jesus. And if you want to know what God looks like, look at Jesus. If you want to know who God is, look at Jesus. How else can we know what God is like apart from Jesus? And if you want to follow God, you follow Jesus. It's really quite simple. You may not understand. Your desire may be insufficient. But he is sufficient. And what he has done is sufficient. Look at the change in Peter and Thomas. Up until the time of Pentecost, you look at Peter's life, and it's like a roller coaster. He's up on the mountain one moment, and down in the valley the next. Up and down. Praising the Lord, and denying him. Sometimes, in two sentences right together. When he was up in Caesarea Philippi, Jesus asked, "Well, who do men say that I am?" And they said, "Some this, some that." And so the Lord asked them, "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter came right out and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Blessed art thou, Peter." And right after that, the Lord said he was going to do something, and Peter said, "Not so, Lord." And Jesus said to him, "Get thee behind me, Satan." Up and down in one moment. But after Pentecost, we don't read of a single one, maybe one, single down in Peter's life. That was the disagreement he had with Paul. Otherwise, the life of Peter is lived on the mountaintop. Look at Thomas. Doubting Thomas, we're pleased to call him. Disputing Thomas, whatever you want to call him. But after Pentecost, he went and gave his life for the Lord in India. And if tradition is correct, He was martyred. He was put to death in India. What made the difference? They realized that the way to God is not a path, but a person. A personal relationship with Jesus of Nazareth. Now this is nothing new. All of you have heard this before. And if you're unsaved here, you've heard this before. Many times before. The real question is, do you want to know the Father? Philip did. The very next question that he asked was, well, he doesn't frame it as a question, but it's obvious that he wants to know something. Philip says unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it will satisfy us. You know, and many people seek the Father, and they're not satisfied. Is that the case with you here today? Do you really want to know God? How badly do you want to know God? If you don't want to know God, then you might as well not listen to anything more I have to say. But if you do want to know God, then you should ask the same question that Philip asked. Show us the Father. And you should ask it of Jesus. Because only Jesus can show you. But there's something else here that we should look at. And it's the hardness and the denseness of the human heart. Now, I'm not about to put Philip down. I have no doubt that Philip was a much better man than I am. But he had been with the Lord for 3 years. And Jesus' reply to Philip shows that. Have I been so long with you, Philip, and yet you have not known me? Here is the denseness of the human heart. Spent 3 years with Jesus, still did not really know him. And so Jesus asked him, have I been so long with you, so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. How sayest thou then? Show us the Father. You know, and many look at Jesus, but they don't know him. How long have you looked at Jesus and not known him? How long have you known about Jesus? I don't think there is a single person in this room that hasn't known about Jesus from the time they knew themselves. But do you know him? Do you know him? Little girl was asked once to recite John 3:16. And she got up very proud. She had memorized it. And she stood up and composed herself and began. And she began well. For God so loved the world that he gave his only forgotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. One word different. But oh, what a difference. God's only forgotten son. How many of us here have forgotten him? Have forgotten or just put out of mind what he's done for us? Out of sight, out of mind. And as long as we don't have to think about it, it's all right. It doesn't bother us. As if we think about it, it does bother us, doesn't it? The fact that Jesus came and gave himself for us to prepare for us a place in heaven. to reserve our place. What a cost. What a cost. But for so many, He is only God's forgotten Son. These questions, these answers, are about the most fundamental thing in the world. If we don't ask these questions, and if we don't listen to Jesus' reply, we shall miss out on the most fundamental things in the world. The question is, are you prepared this morning to ask Jesus to show you the Father? Are you prepared to ask Him to reveal Himself to you? It may cost you. It may cost you many things. But the things that it will cost you are the things that you know deep down in your heart you should give up anyway. But let me tell you what coming to Christ will cost you. Coming to Christ will cost you your place in hell. You see, right now, there is another place reserved for you, if you are not a believer. And as the Lord said to Peter, before the cock crow, there is a time limit. There is a time limit to your life. The time will come when either you will die or the Lord will come. And if you've denied Him, you will go to that place that is reserved for you now. But if you ask the Lord Jesus to come into your heart, I speak in the simplest of language, to come into your heart and take away all your sins, then there's another place reserved for you in heaven. Will you forget Him today? He did not forget you. He had you in mind when He trudged up that lonely hill and gave Himself. Will you remember Him today? Or will you walk out of this meeting as you've done so many meetings in the past and just forget Him? The choice is up to you. What do you want? Do you want to follow Christ, or do you want to deny Him? You know what the right choice is. Why not make it? Let's pray together.